Haïti chérie, vi bel pays passé ou non point. Faut que moi t'ai quitté, pour moi t'es capable comprendre valeur.
And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the show, classical contributor Charles Greenfield speaks with Doreen Marks and Byron Krulwich about over three decades of classical productions in Miami. Chef Norman Van Aken presents A Word on Food, and our arts calendar today features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. We welcome to the show today a man long considered the backbone of the Haitian community throughout their diaspora, a poet, playwright, broadcaster, columnist, author, administrator, teacher, translator, and currently the owner of Librairie Mapou Bookstore. Quite a Renaissance man, if you ask me. And welcome to South Florida Arts Beat, Mr. Jean Mapou.
Thank you, Ed, and it's a pleasure to be here with you.
And this is no stranger of a location for you. We are honored to feature your great radio show every Friday night at 9:05 to 9:35, and we'll talk about the other radio show. But first, Jean, you were one of the co-founders of the Haitian Creole Movement in Haiti in 1965, which gave birth to the multidisciplinary arts company Société Kukui, whose mission was to preserve Haitian culture and traditions and rituals. You were jailed in Haiti for your cultural work, and upon release, you left your country to move to New York in 1972. Then you came to Miami in 1984, where the Miami chapter was founded in 1985. Your work with Société Kukui still continues to this day, and what have you and your organization accomplished over those long decades of devotion to your culture?
Yeah, we accomplish a lot, Ed, and I don't think we'll have time to to expand on everything we have done so far. But we have, at this point, we have chapters in Canada, in Connecticut, in Atlanta, and in Haiti again, and in Miami. Mm-hmm. And our mission is still to promote the Haitian Creole, mm-hmm. our language. And it's a fight that we started in 1965, and we are so proud to have now Creole as an official language in Haiti. And recently, two or three weeks ago, they just created an academy for the Haitian Creole in Haiti. Wow. You know, that's something we are fighting for the past 50 years, because in 2015, we're going to have 50 years since we are struggling to bring awareness and to bring the government to introduce the Haitian Creole in the educational system of Haiti, and also, you know, for the Haitians to promote their culture all over the world.
Now, it's been many years, but do you travel back to your homeland? Is it safe for you?
Oh, yes, yes, I do. As a matter of fact, last month I was there for a week. And everything is quiet and very safe. And Haiti, I should say, is a country being rebuilt now after the earthquake in 2010. You know, mm-hmm. the people is still suffering. We still have political problems. But there is a sign of relief a little bit.
Well, your Société Kukui is certainly helping to
Société
make
Kukui
better
is
lives
still there. Correct.
For Haitians and for the diaspora.
For the young, we have an organization over there, and we've over 300 young people, very active in all discipline, like theater, painting, and you know, educating themselves in every aspect of the Haitian culture.
Now, Jean, here in Miami, you became the manager of the Miami International Airport parking operations and remained there for over 27 years. Now, as owner and manager of the award-winning Librairie Mapou Bookstore, founded in 1990, you continue to operate the Société Kukui organization within your nonprofit, Mapou Cultural Center at the bookstore. And that, as I understand, was the first cultural hub in Little Haiti for artists and authors to gather and disseminate their works. Thanks especially to grants from the wonderful Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Tell us what you offer, South Florida, at the Mapu Cultural Center in your bookstore.
Yeah, first of all, that was a long introduction to come up to the bookstore, but I retired from Miami International Airport after 27 years. And we definitely, I am at the bookstore, and what we do offer, it's, I should say the first Haitian cultural hub in Little Haiti. Mm-hmm. We started in 1985, thanks to a grant from Michael
Spring.
From the cultural affairs, and it's an opportunity for me to keep on thanking him, because this man is so special to us.
Very special.
Helping, you know, all the Haitian community or cultural groups. And what we do there, what we offer, first of all, there is a bookstore there, which is a profit organization. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the profit organization is within inside the building, which is the Mapu Cultural Center, which is the first cultural center. And then we house Societe Kukui inside the Mapu Cultural Center. So therefore, we have a non-profit, and we have the profit organization within the same complex. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then therefore, what do? We have a distribution of books in French, in Creole, and also in English, and even in Spanish. We have textbooks, history books, religion, anything on the voodoo. We'll find it in Library Mapu, but inside the complex of Mapu Cultural Center, we do give Creole classes and dance classes, and we train those young Haitians, you know, to be on stage in plays like
plays that you write.
Oh yes, plays I wrote 15 plays, and we used to have a play almost once a year at Miami-Dade Auditorium or at Gossman's for the performing arts. And unfortunately, you know, with the crisis, budget crisis, mm-hmm. you know, they cut, you know, some of the funding we used to have. But nowadays, even we slow down on our activities, but still we are very vibrant. We got a community that is supporting us, and we are still working with Miami-Dade Cultural Affairs to see if they can resume the grants for us.
I'm sure they'll keep you going, sir. That's Librairie Mapu Bookstore, 5919 Northeast 2nd Avenue. That's right next to the Caribbean Marketplace in Little Haiti. For more information, you can call 305-757-9922 or go to Librairie, Librairie Mapu, MAPOU.com. Jean Mapu, our guest today, and we only have about three more minutes, Jean, but so much to talk about. Your second radio show on Mega 1700 AM every Sunday at 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., and of course on WLRN 905 to 930 every Friday. What, quickly, tell us about your book fest coming up in September, and you're a Knight Foundation grant winner for this book festival.
Yes, we are very proud to be. And
bravo.
Yes, last thank you. Last year we had a pilot project of a bookstore in Little Haiti, mm-hmm. and because, you know, in 2001. I was invited to be on the board of Miami-Dade Book Fair International.
Yes.
And it was a learning process for me. I was there and I learned a lot. So I said to myself, you know, I have all those books. I have all the authors available. Why don't I create something of that nature? The same way Mitchell Kaplan and Eduardo Padron, you know, get together and created Book by the Bay. And by the way, when I came to Miami in 1984, that was my first site visit Someone took me there. You know, I was so happy to see the display of these books. And I said to myself, let me create something. And Miami did Cultural Affairs back me up, sponsored me, and also the Knight Foundation Art Challenge. We have a grant, and we're going to have it next year, this year in September.
Monsieur Mapou, Jean Mapou, our guest today. We've run out of time. I'm so sorry because we had so much to talk about. But watch for his book fair in September.
14.
And for more information, librairiemapou.com or call 305-757-9922. Thank you so much, sir, to have you join us on the show. It's an honor.
My pleasure, Ed. Thank you.
Pour me sentir vraiment tout ça où t'es pour moi.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken stirs up a word on food, and our arts calendar today features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Sad to say, it's the end of an era for the dynamic and diverse Sunday Afternoons of Music and Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children series. Here's Charles Greenfield to tell us more.
Recently, it was announced both on their website and publicly that Doreen Marks' Sunday Afternoons of Music and Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children was in its final season. For over three decades, Doreen Marks has managed and directed both Sunday series, which first ran out of Pinecrest Temple Beth Am, then switched to UM's Gustman Concert Hall in 2002. For over 30 years, the very affordable, high-quality concerts have attracted subscribers to international artists like violinist Jaime Laredo, pianist Richard Good and Olga Kern, cellist Jana Starker, the Mendelssohn String Quartet, and vocalist Dawn Upshaw. In 1986, Doreen introduced Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children with hour-long shows that have showcased local groups like jazz artist Ira Sullivan and Friends, the Florida Grand Opera Young Artists Studio, the New World School of the Arts Conservatory Orchestra, and annual Peter and the Wolf performances with personalities like Martin Bookspan. With a great eye for talent, she chooses young artists who are beginning to make a name for themselves on a national level. The setting in the 600-seat UM Gustman Concert Hall is both intimate and acoustically accurate, while the programs are always entertaining and often challenging in scope. Interestingly, there's never been a canceled concert, with the exception of violinist Elmer Oliveira, canceled for a September hurricane but later rescheduled. The series also has never been in the red. Recently, I had the opportunity to talk to Doreen Marks and her husband, Byron, in two parts about highlights from the past decades, her talented roster of both young artists and well-established musicians, and the end of this season with the very talented soprano Isabel Leonard performing Songs of Spain to conclude their final program on Sunday, May 18th at 4 p.m. at UM's Gustman Concert Hall. Doreen Marks, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
It's always wonderful to talk with you, Charles.
Give us an overview of the original concept for Sunday Afternoons of Music. Were you filling a cultural gap that existed here in South Florida many decades?
It was filling it, but there was no plan to do this. It happened as a fluke. It was rather like serendipity. We had planned a weekend of art at Temple Beth Am in Pinecrest. And I was on the board at the time. And I said, well, what is a festival without music? So I got in touch with the four members of the then old Florida Philharmonic. And I remember their names so distinctly. Yefim Pestuk, first violin, Nina Gordon, cello, David Chappell, viola, and Stuart McDonald, second violin. And it was a free concert. I didn't want to charge anything. I thought, if you can't charge when you're having the art. That was my original concept. Well, we had the art show on a Saturday night. We had cocktails at somebody's home, went to the temple to view this antique Judaica that was in from New York City, And we had a wonderful afternoon of music on Sunday afternoon that was reasonably well attended. And then I thought to myself, hey, let's see if we can do another one of these things because it went so well. Check bookkeeping. We only paid them $500, Charles. Can you believe that for me?
I can't believe that. And you know, I'm going to ask you another question. If you look back over the decades, can you now say mission accomplished?
Oh, goodness me, yes. Mission accomplished many times over, many, many times over. It's been a remarkable journey, an exciting journey, a fulfilling journey, and indeed a very passionate journey. It's been fun. It's been a lot of hard work. But oh, the joys that we have received, both Byron and I. We have received many, many joys. And it's been an absolute delight. And then we had the second concert. We didn't have the $500 because the insurance for the Antique Judaica was $1,000 instead of $500. I went to the rabbi and I said, you can't renege on any commitment to any musicians, particularly two of them were Russian refugees.
Oh.
He said, charge. I'd already had the tickets printed. We charged $5 a ticket, $2.50 for seniors and students. And that was the small beginning of this amazing, amazing journey.
Doreen, before we talk about the highlights of your career during the past three decades, I need to ask you, what impelled you to make this decision to stop? And is there hope that someone might consider taking over the reins with your blessing?
Well, what made us stop is, you know, to everything there is a season, Charles. My wonderful husband is going to be 90, and I am going to be 88. And I think it's time to make way for the younger people that have fresher ideas, have a little bit more enthusiasm. Well, no, I've got a lot of enthusiasm. I still have the enthusiasm, but I don't have the energy to back it up. And I felt it was, both Byron and I felt it was time. I think we both want Sunday afternoons of music and Sunday afternoons of music for children to just sort of rest on its laurels. And if there are those out there that want to add a few more concerts to their already successful endeavors of presenting music to the community, I think that's the way to go. And as far as the children's series is concerned, there have been a couple of people that are interested in mounting a series for children. And in any way that we can help them, of course we will.
Let's talk about some amusing incidents over the years with your talented artists. I know that the late music critic Jim Roos's brother-in-law, pianist Carlo Grante, was scheduled to play at Temple Beth Am, and the piano failed to be delivered.
That's true. That is absolutely true. And the reason for it was the ticket got placed under a lot of different piles of tickets. And by 5 o'clock on a Saturday night for a 4 o'clock Sunday concert, we had no piano. But anyway, through the good graces of a piano tuner by the name of Reed Welsh, we were able to get a Bösendorfer, a brand new Bösendorfer that was so sharp and so brilliant, but it was a piano. You just can't go to Publix and get a 9-foot baby grand, you know. You have to pick what you can get. And anyway, it was an amazing concert. When I got the piano, then I burst into tears.
And then soprano Gwendolyn Bradley, I believe, was
oh, God, I'll never forget.
She was pregnant.
She was 6 months pregnant. She came from Germany. And in those days, you couldn't go and just get a gown during the course of the year, only around the holidays and stuff like that. So the minute she got off the plane, we said our greetings. She says, I don't have a thing to wear. So I said, oh, my God, what are we going to do? So we went to Miracle Mile. They have a lot of very lovely wedding gown shops and stuff like that. And it was like 4:45. I put my foot in the door and I said, we absolutely have to have a gown for tomorrow. And it was the time when you had that bousant style, you know, where the waistline tucked under the tummy. The ladies out there will know what I'm talking about. It was quite a few years ago. Well, the first gown she tried on was wonderful. We went around the corner to Abrams to get some shoulder pads and she looked like $1 million.
Well, not only she, but there are a whole new younger generation of performers, not only including the older generation, Richard Good, who was just here, but young artists like, I'm thinking of the glamorous Russian pianist Olga Kern and the super talented violinist Ray Chen and even pianist Jeremy Denk.
Denk, I remember he wore the amazing, amazing designer jeans. I couldn't get over his.
And he did the Goldberg Variations, and he did
Beethoven.
He also did the Charles Ives Second Piano Sonata.
Yes. But oh, he was amazing. He was amazing.
And then Olga, and then there's Ray, and you have an eye for this emerging talent. What characteristics do you look for?
What characteristics do I look for? I think it's just luck. No, I just look the review. You know what? I never liked to listen to CDs. I never trusted CDs. But I would read, I would hear what other artists said. Oh, and as far as Ray Chen is concerned, his maestro, Aaron Rosand, who we're very, very friendly with, we would chat. We do still chat like once every month, every couple of months. He said, I have a student you absolutely have to get. And it was Ray Chen. And I'll never forget, we hit it off very, very well because Ray was born and raised of Taiwanese parents in Australia. And I was born and raised in London. So our senses of humor run around the same gamut. And I remember at dinner on his first visit said, you know, Doreen, I like hanging out with you. I said, Ray, do you know what just came out of your mouth? I said, I'm old enough to be your great-grandmother. And I said, we'd love to have you back, but God only knows if we could afford you in 2 years. This was like, what, 2010? Anyway, he came back. He came back, and we always hit it off so beautifully. And of course, he's an amazing, amazing pianist. And I have Aaron to thank for that.
When we return for part two with Doreen Marks and Byron Krulwich on Sunday Afternoons of Music, we will discuss the children's series, Byron has some comments, and the final concert of the year.
Here's South Florida's jazz and classical flutist, Nestor Torres.
Congratulations, Doreen Marks and Byron Krulwich, on a wonderful legacy of music, a wonderful legacy of culture that you have given us all here in South Florida. I consider one of my golden memories and a great privilege that I was part of your series of concert events on Sundays, at least on two occasions, as I, you know, had the opportunity to perform some of my favorite pieces from the classical flute repertoire. I cannot say enough. Thank you. Enjoy this new golden page in your lives as you can look back and celebrate with great pride and satisfaction a lifetime of wonderful contributions and achievements to the community and the cultural landscape right here in South Florida. Congratulations.
We will return to the conversation between Doreen Marks, Byron Krulwich, and Charles Greenfield in just a moment. Please stay with us here on South Florida Arts Beat. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on WLRN and WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Now let's return to the conversation between Doreen Marks, Byron Krulwich, and Charles Greenfield about Sunday Afternoons of Music and Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children.
Doreen and Byron, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Byron, tell us a little bit about the behind-the-scene work, from computers to organizing the logistics. And I think you have some numbers to give us.
Oh, definitely. When we started with Temple Beth Am, Doreen never had a budget because the budget was prepared by the temple. When I started to come back on board with her in 85, I started to help her develop an actual operating budget for Sunday Afternoons of Music. At that time, we were about maybe one-sixth of what we are today, and that was in 85. And as we have grown, we've grown, let's say, six times that amount. We've gone six times in our size, and the thing that we are most proud of is in the 33 years of operation, we've never ended up in the red. We've always had a surplus at the end of the year, and that's in presenting over 200 concerts over the span of 33 years. In that time, we presented over 82 piano artists, 15 cellists, 24 violinists, 27 vocalists. We presented 13 instrumentalists, 27 string quartets, and 7 duo pianos, which amounts to about 195 different artist organizations. It's quite an impressive list.
Well, I'm impressed, Byron, and I want to get back to Doreen. Yes. Doreen, let's talk a little bit about the Sunday Afternoons of Music for Children. You started it in 1986. Why did you? And tell us about its success.
Well, as a concerned grandmother, there was nothing going on for children, and I was very interested in enriching the lives of youngsters through the delights of good music. And we started very, very small, and then I decided to add a subscription series. And then one Saturday afternoon, I said, hey, let's have some apple juice, balloons, and cookies. And then I said, my God, that's ABC. How wonderful. And the amazing company, Whole Foods Markets, has been donating their delicious juice and cookies, which are organic, for more years than I can remember.
Now, I heard that last year, the Miami City Ballet performed on Mother's Day, and the helium tanks for the balloons were not delivered.
Yes. You'll die when you hear this. The tanks weren't delivered. So I said, we cannot have a concert without balloons. So I said, let's go to Party City. They only had like a 50-ton tank that did not fit in our car. So Byron says, let's rent a minivan. So we had to go and rent a minivan. It took about five guys to carry this thing into Gusman. And I have to say that the men in black at Gusman have been so helpful to us over these many, many years. They slapped the thing into Gusman, and we had our beautiful, colorful sea of color of balloons.
Well, that's a happy ending, and I know that your two bestsellers have been Peter and the Wolf and the Miami City Ballet Dancers. How did you conceive these two concepts?
Well, Peter and the Wolf is a perennial favorite of children from 1 to 101, and every year people love to see it. I mean, the Miami City Ballet puts on the Nutcracker every year, and I said, so why golly, can't we put on Peter and the Wolf? And it is one of the best sellers. And, of course, the Miami City Ballet ended our 28-year run of children's concerts last Sunday, as a matter of fact, April 27th, with the beautiful Sleeping Beauty. It was absolutely exquisite, and all the seven dancers excelled, and the audience were just enraptured with the music and the beauty of the dance.
And the narrators, have there been several narrators for Peter and the Wolf or just one?
Always had Martin Buxban. He did it till the very end, and by golly, he was wonderful. He always is terrific.
Now, every year since you became an independent 501(c) nonprofit, you've held a Peter and the Wolf outreach concert for 600 second-grade students.
It was at Gusman, but there was one year when we did it through the Passport
Cultural Passport Program. It was the superintendent of the Miami-Dade schools created the Cultural Passport, where he introduced children from grades 2 through 12 to some type of art or music.
And we had 5,000 second graders come to the Bank Atlantic Center on Ponce de Leon Boulevard. We did it in conjunction with the University of Miami, and it was an amazing success. The children loved it. Can you imagine 5,000 second graders? It was a sight to behold, and they were so well behaved. And I have to say, at the ballet last week, the youngsters were so well behaved. It was a delight to see them. I have to tell you that Allegro Music Center, for many, many years, under the wonderful direction of Manny Barbarian, has brought these miniature string instruments, miniature cellos, violins, and violas, so that children, if they have a yearning to play a string instrument, they can hold the instrument and see how it feels. And we've done extraordinarily well under the good graces of Manny Barbarian of Allegro Music Center of Miami. He's been most generous with his time for many, many years, and we're very, very grateful to him.
Now, you're going to end the season May 18th.
May 18th
with a South Florida debut, the mezzo-soprano Isabel.
The Metropolitan Opera star concludes Sunday Afternoons of Music. She is giving a rich selection of extraordinary songs of Spain. Isabel Leonard with her equal partner, Vlad Ivtitka, who is a member of the musical team, the Metropolitan Opera. She's an acclaimed vocalist. And believe it or not, Charles, she's making her South Florida debut on May 18th. An amazing, amazing singer. Oh, she's passionate. She's gorgeous. She's visually beautiful, vocally beautiful. And she continues to make waves in the opera world and take, indeed, that opera world by storm. In fact, by the way, you know, James Levine was not on the podium for over 2 years And Isabel returned in Così Fan Tutte recently at the Met with James to rave reviews in Barber of Seville.
Doreen, we have a little bit of time left, and I know that there are so many people out there that you want to send thanks and your affection for all the years that they've helped you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about these people?
Well, I'm not going to mention names, but thank you for the time, Charles. There are so many organizations, governmental organizations, individual organizations, and individuals themselves who have helped us over these many 33 years. We could not have done it. The local newspapers, Whole Foods Markets, which I have to mention again, and these amazing individuals that would send us their checks at the beginning of the year. Sometimes they would increase it, but they would automatically send their money to us, and we would guard their every dollar because they know that we would spend it very judiciously. And I cannot begin to thank each and every one of these people. They know who they are, and I know who they are, but I don't feel I should mention it publicly like this. But I thank you for this wonderful opportunity, Charles.
Well, Doreen Marks and Byron Krulwich, I want to thank you for your vast contribution to South Florida's cultural arts scene and for your many years here on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charles.
Amazing opportunity.
Doreen Marks has an unerring eye for upcoming and established performers whose superior talent ably fill the season's calendar in South Florida's rising cultural scene. It should also be noted that this amazing impresario's over three decades of service to the South Florida community has been supported and structured by her indispensable husband, Byron. It is with regret but gratitude that we bid farewell to a Sunday tradition that has added real musical fiber and substance to our cultural constitution here in South Florida. We can only hope that Doreen Marks' legacy will be honored in the future with similar dedication. For ticket information for the final concert with soprano Isabel Leonard, May 18th, call 305-271-7150 and check their website, sundaymusicals.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net.
This is Michael Spring, and I'm director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Well, Sunday Afternoons of Music is a work of passion by Doreen Marks and her husband, Byron Krulwich. I mean, this is an institution in our community, a series that's been around for better than 30 years now, and has entertained and energized audiences in our community for classical music and been the kind of thing that's changed lives, and especially the component of what Byron and Doreen do for children, Sunday afternoons for children as well, have built new audiences for the arts form over the years. And these two individuals are totally amazing, committed human beings that our Department of Cultural Affairs has been proud to support over the years. And we will miss them, but their legacy will live on in our community.
Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the offs and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is peppers. I was asked to cook for the man known in the hot chili circles as the Pope of Peppers. The event where I cooked for him was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for the Peppery Pope's 70th anniversary of his birth. The Pope is also a man, Dave DeWitt by name. He is a man who has reached a starry age I hope to attain one day, long, long from now, with grit and wit. He wears his pepper crown with an easy grin, which saves him from the starchy and sanctimonious self-puffery so commonly found in the successful promoters of the world. Dave, along with his lovely wife MJ, have created a long line of Chili's spearheaded events. The one in Albuquerque was a Lollapalooza with attendees busting past the 20,000 marker. It all took place at the Sandia Resort and Casino. My wife, Janet, and I flew out at the request of one of Dave DeWitt's longtime friends and loyal Chili Head brethren, Mr. Dennis Hayes. Denny was not only organizing some of the key moments in the Pope's party, Denny and I are also publishing partners, so we have a lot of shared projects and passions. The two of us mix our adoration of Chili's Inn with an equal love of palm trees and sandy beaches. Denny arranged for this to be a surprise for the Pope. We came to realize in the process of this journey, it is hard to keep a secret from a Pope. Nonetheless, we forged ahead. I flew with a bag of bomba rice purchased at Delicias de España in my carry-on. My plan was to create a kind of paella, but encase it, enrobe it, if you will, in a roasted and peeled poblano pepper. South of Albuquerque a long time ago, one would have encountered Mesoamerica, a region that extends roughly from southern Mexico down through Central America. By 7000 BC, the people there were planting variations of corn, beans, and chilies. Some of the chilies I use most often must be mentioned. Anchos are a dried poblano chili and are the most commonly used dried chili in Mexico. Brick red to dark mahogany with an orange-red cordovan tint when held up to the light. It is the sweetest of the dried chilies. Chipotles are dried smoked jalapenos. I love these when sold on adobo. Habaneros are a very hot, lantern-shaped pepper, ranging from dark green to orange, orange-red, or red when fully ripe. Serranos are a smallish, tapered pepper with a lean, biting heat and pleasantly high acidity, ranging in color from green to red, with the red being slightly sweeter. I also came to learn that Dave has an astonishing knowledge of medical marijuana. It seems like the subjects could be intricately intertwined when one thinks about it. I asked Dave's wife if she thought he would be hungry enough to eat my stuffed peppers after the large serving of appetizers at the party. She just winked, pantomimed a pipe being hit, and I got the implication. As the tall Zaftig singer who led the birthday band held the proclamation Denny had created to commemorate the august birthday and Dave's achievements in all things peppers, Dave looked out at his subjects at the giant restaurant, beaming beatifically and, giving a papal wave, said to the congregated, "I love you all. How spiritual is that? Smokin'." I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of My Key West and is also the director of restaurants for the Miami Culinary Institute and Tuyo in downtown Miami. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Hamburgers. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat Entertainment Calendar. And today we welcome back Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Good afternoon, Deborah.
Good afternoon to you, Ed. Always a pleasure.
And I'm sure there's something going on in Miami-Dade County.
Oh, just a thing or two to talk about. So I'm going to launch right in and try to not take a breath so I can get as many in as possible. And wonderfully exciting is that Fundarte is kicking off its night new works by Miami Artist Project. They titled it Miami on Stage, and that kicks off this weekend at Miami-Dade County Auditorium with contemporary flamenco guitarist and composer Jose Luis Rodriguez from Spain. And Mr. Rodriguez is performing his dynamic new project, Resonancias. It includes live performance of original guitar and electrical compositions by Jose Luis Rodriguez, and features guest artists Gustavo Matamoros, Alex Jordan on a second guitar, and movement by our own local magnificent goddess of choreography, Niorca Marquez. And it should be just a wonderfully experimental and exploring kind of program, and that's tonight at Miami-Dade County Auditorium. Also this weekend, we're very excited that the Dance Now Ensemble is going to have their South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center premiere performances, and that's this weekend and next weekend. They'll be performing programs featuring Gerald Arpino's Light Rain Pas de Deux from the Joffrey Ballet and Diego Saltarini's critically acclaimed Oceanica, among many other original works. So that's, again, this weekend and next weekend at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. They'll also be offering free dance workshops to the community on May 10th and 17th, so go check those out. And the Florida Grand Opera closes its 2013-14 season this weekend at the Arts Center with their production of Massenet's Thaïs, and that is closing this weekend at the Adrian Arts Center for the Performing Arts. It's also closing weekend of the Miami Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. They'll have screenings throughout the weekend at the Colony Theater, the Miami Beach Cinematheque, Miami Beach Botanical Garden, and the Miami Beach Convention Center. The closing night party tomorrow night is at the Shore Club, and there'll be a Mother's Day award brunch at the Biltmore Hotel. Again, another wonderfully triumphant season of the Miami Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. Tomorrow night, the Miami International Jazz Festival presents Jerry Gonzalez and Fort Apache Band, Giovanni Hidalgo and Atlanti, and the Mike Orta Trio. And that's down again at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. Look at that, South Daters. You have nothing to complain about anymore.
True.
Also, this weekend is the world premiere of Sobe Arts' Fairy Tales Songs of the Dandelion Woman. And this tells the story of a young and beautiful heiress, the bank examiner who her family has hired to spy on her, and their communal descent into madness. And this is written and composed by Sobe Arts Artistic Director Carson Kiesman. Should be a wonderfully bizarre and exotic experience in music. And wonderful show. So that's this weekend and running through May 16th at the Little Stage Theater at Sobe Institute for the Arts on Miami Beach. Also, this weekend on May 11th, we have the Alhambra Orchestra performing at the Ransom Everglades School Auditorium. They'll be performing Mahler's Songs of a Wayfarer and Bruckner's Symphony No. 0 in B minor. And that, again, is Sunday at 7:30 at the Ransom Everglades School Auditorium, and it's a free performance. Continuing on, there's just tons of music going on, including Miami International Piano Festival's 2014 Discovery Series. That's next Thursday through Sunday, May 15th through the 18th, at the Colony Theater on Miami Beach. They'll be featuring extraordinary young pianists, including Kotaro Fukuma of Japan. They'll also be featuring Nick Van Bloss of Great Britain, Llewellyn Sanchez-Werner, a 17-year-old U.S. prodigy, and Zlata Chochieva of Russia. And those will be extraordinary performances throughout the weekend over at the Colony Theater with a grand finale on the 18th that will include the Marriage of Opera and the Marriage of Piano Transcriptions, a collaborative event with the vocal studio of Manny Perez. And that, of course, is May 15th through the 18th at the Colony Theater. Also next weekend, if it's the third Friday of the month, then it's time for Big Night in Little Haiti. And next Friday's street party is headlined by Boukman Experience, and that's Big Night in Little Haiti at the Little Haiti Cultural Arts Center at 212 Northeast 59th Terrace. Always a fun blast. Lots of great music, food, shows, exhibits in the galleries. Not to be missed. If you haven't tried a Big Night in Little Haiti event, you're missing out. So go check that out next Friday night. Also, we have Karen Peterson dancers presenting their performance of Grit at Miami-Dade County Auditorium next Thursday and Friday, May 15 and 16. It's a multimedia dance work choreographed by Karen Peterson and Katrina Weaver and features video art by the brilliant Denora De Jesus Rodriguez. That's next Thursday and Friday at Miami-Dade County Auditorium. The Miami Piano Circle, I tell you, there's tons of music. Miami Piano Circle is presenting 10 grands at the Opera next Friday, May 17th, at the New World Center on Miami Beach. That's the home of the New World Symphony. They'll be featuring extraordinary music by some of the great masters from Mozart to Bizet, just brilliant composers. But what's really cool about this is that they will be fully utilizing all of the different levels and performance alcoves that exist within the New World Center. And there'll be 10 grand pianos, each perched at a different place throughout the hall. Should be totally awesome. Definitely want to get out there and check that out. Also, we have the closing 10 days of the production of Rose and the Rhyme, a modern myth. This is over at the Carnival Studio Theater at the Adrian Arsh Center. And this is an extraordinarily clever, creative production brought here in conjunction with the House Theater of Chicago. Totally fun, cool, and a little bit bizarre story. I won't give too much detail, but I will tell everybody to please get onto the website and check it out. It is a brilliant production, not to be missed. And then Stephanie Anson and Fernando Calzadilla's production of Everybody Drinks the Same Water is now open and running through June 1st at Miami Theater Center in Miami Shores. And this is a story set in medieval Cordoba, Spain. It tells the story of fear, anger, and suspicion gripping the town as each of the sects of the community, Christian, Muslim, and Jewish, become violently ill after drinking from the same public water supply. Ultimately, it takes three teenagers of different faiths to work together to unravel the mystery. And it's just, again, another fabulous production brought to us by our cherished Stephanie Anson and her collaborating partner, Fernando Calzadilla, at Miami Theater Center on stage through June 1st. And I'll close with the reminder that it is May, and so it is Miami Museum Month. And a new record has been set. We now have 24 participating museums.
Great.
And this is a brilliant opportunity to get out and see everything you've ever wanted to see in our museums, from the Perez Art Museum to some of the smaller museums in town. But the deal is that you can buy one admission and get another one free, or if you join any one of the participating museums in May, you can go see them all with no admission. I think it's a great promotion. And again, hats off to our colleagues at the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau for coming up with this great scheme, but it benefits everybody. Most importantly, it benefits people who want to check out our museums. So if you've been waiting to see, there are incredible exhibits up everywhere in town. So definitely take advantage of Miami Museum Month.
Buy one admission, get another free?
That's it. One admission, get another admission free, or buy a membership and get to see anything you want throughout the month of May.
Hmm, such a deal.
And for more details on that, I mean, I barely scratched the surface, so you need to go check out our website. That's miamidadearts.org, all one word, miamidadearts.org.
That's the very informative Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Deborah, thank you for all of that event information and great weekend.
Thanks so much, Ed. I'm going to exhale now.
Let me also mention Cantare. The Miami Children's Chorus will be in concert with Nestor Torres, Dr. David Bruner, and Dance Now Miami this Sunday, Mother's Day, the 11th at 5 p.m. at the New World Center, 517th Street on Miami Beach. For more info, call 305-662-7494 or go to miamichildrenschorus.org. Also, the 7th Annual Everglades Awareness Benefit Concert takes place tomorrow. It's an all-ages event starting at 6 in the evening at 7th Circuit Productions, 228 Northeast 59th Street in Miami. Call 305-757-7277 for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Andy Wagner, our technical director, and our contributors. Thank you so much, Charles Greenfield, Norman Van Aken, and Deborah Margol. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information, 305-995-2221, or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day. And as always, please keep your dial set to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.